Because sometimes, you know, when you go to a conference, folks think you're going to on a vacation. I can't really say it was a vacation. It was a nice getaway, but it was an interesting time of sitting in conference seminars and learning, and learned some things and heard some things that I've never heard before, and hopefully in the future I'll get to share some of those things with you. My wife and I aren't sure it's a conference we'll ever actually go back to, just because it was kind of outside of our league compared to what we're used to going to. The church sends us to the National Conference of the GRBC every end of June. And when you go to one of those conferences, you know that all the other churches that are represented there are GRBC churches. The conference we went to the other day, we thought was similar in that sort of aspect, but as different rooms began to introduce themselves in the different seminars, as different individuals introduced themselves, I found myself surrounded by individuals from community churches and Bible churches and Presbyterian churches, and there was even a lady from a Lutheran church there. Yeah, so it was a little different than what I'm used to, but it was all talking about being saved by grace and being able to serve the Lord fearlessly because we're saved by grace. We don't have to worry about what anyone else can do to us. We are told in God's Word not to fear man, but to fear the one that has the ability to cast our souls into hell. Well, we understand that as saved Christians, we don't have to worry about that. We've been forgiven. So we don't have to worry about what other people think or say and do and want to do to us, because we're already Christians and we know where we're going. And I got to thinking just this afternoon about that and how, you know, no matter what happens in our life, we still win. And we are still the victors in the battle. And we have Christ on our side. And no matter what happens to us, we still get to go to heaven. Isn't that great news? You know, the worst situations can come into our lives, into our world. And yet in the end, we still get to go to glory. That's such good news and such reassuring news. So I appreciate the fact that the church was willing to send us to the national or to this conference the last couple of days ago. I really thank you for that, allowing us to have the time off to be able to do that. And I did grow, and I learned some things, like I said, and just really appreciate that. The other thing I want to talk about this evening is a vacation Bible school. We have a couple kids here that are going to be here for the week, and I'm always excited about vacation Bible school. This year I'm a little rushed because I've got classes next week, and VBS starts tomorrow, and we just had the conference last week, and we've got the Worlds of Fun Youth Rally coming up, and I feel a little rushed doing a lot of stuff. But I kind of wanted to share with you some of the stuff that the kids are going to do this week. One of the things that we'll do as soon as the kids first get here is they'll go through the registration table and they'll get their name tags. And they're color-coded according to their room, so they know which teacher they have and what class they're in, and they can look at their name tag, and, oh, I've got a pink or I've got a red name tag, so that must mean I'm in a class with red kids with other red name tags, and they start interacting, and it's really fun to watch the kids interact real fast. And then we'll do our pledges. We'll say the pledge to the American flag and the Christian flag and to the Bible. Teachers and staff workers, don't worry, I bought pieces of foam board to write those on this year. That way, I'm so glad that the Sunday school kids have been working on it really hard. In the past, I've had to kind of be loud, and the teachers and staff were kind of like, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. So we haven't had it in writing. Am I okay, Mark? I'm popping here. So we're looking forward to doing that outside. Then we come inside where the kids will come inside and they'll sing some songs. When we have our opening, something else that's special about outside is the kids will buy pennies. They'll be bringing their dollars and their nickels and their dimes and their quarters to trade in for pennies. Because once they come inside, we'll have our penny scale. And we've got a big scale with one side. There's two buckets on this scale, and we broke the pink bucket last year because it was so full. So it broke. So I had to go shopping for a new one. I couldn't find pink, so we got a yellow one. So we have a brand new blue and a brand new yellow bucket for this year. And we had a contest last year between the boys and the girls, and we'll do the same thing this year. And we broke the bucket last year, so I had to get a new one. But the kids last year raised about $300 worth of pennies. And the bank loved it when I kept walking in with these buckets full of pennies. But it was a great time with the kids, and the offering that they gave towards last year was just a phenomenal offering, and they did a lot of hard work to get that offering, and they had a lot of fun. Then we sing some songs, and we're dismissed to our classes where the kids will be hearing Bible stories in the beginning of the hour, and they're learning this week about lost things. It's Sea Quest, Diving for God's Treasure. And they're going to learn about the lost coin and the lost sheep and the, what else is there? Lost coin, lost sheep. Well, a lot of the parables that talk about lost things. Well, the pearl of great price, the farmer who, or the man who treasure in the field, and he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field, and so forth. There, I started remembering some of them. But then they'll break up, and they'll have craft times, they'll have game times, they have snack times, they have workbook time. They're learning, memorizing verses. they're going to be putting able to buy prizes in the store. Their points they get for being here and bringing friends and bringing in their Bible and saying the memory verse. And it's just going to be a great week of a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope the teachers and the staff are too, because it's our one big outreach for the year that we're really going to minister to kids. You know, in October, once again, just like we did last year, we'll have our trunk or treat where we'll set up our cars in the parking lot and we'll hand out candy from the trunks of our cars. We'll decorate our cars like we did last year and had a lot of fun doing that. And even Jim Frazier was there dressed up in a weird little costume. But we had a great time last year, and it was an opportunity, just like Vacation Bible School, where it kind of puts us in a comfort zone. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you understand the fact that oftentimes when you think about witnessing and evangelizing, oftentimes that involves people going knocking on doors. I'm bothered by that. I don't like to do that. I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that door. I don't know who's going to be on the other side of that door. I don't know what I'm going to find on the other side of that door. It always makes me nervous. But as you think about it, doing a Vacation Bible School and doing our trunk or treat is one of the only times that they come to us. We don't go to them. They voluntarily come to us. So it's a unique opportunity for us to minister to them where we get to be in our comfort zone. They leave their comfort zone to come into ours. This evening, I want to speak to you just for a few moments in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, as we had our very first Vacation Bible School meeting back a few months ago, we were in this passage talking about Jesus and little children. And it's interesting that Jesus gives us the opportunity, God gives us the opportunity to minister to little kids. He brings them to us. We don't have to go and get them. We have invited a bunch of kids, and maybe we have to go pick some of them up, but they're voluntarily coming. We don't have to go to their house and drag them out of their house, or we don't have to go to their home and physically get them dressed and bring them out to the car and drag them to the Vacation Bible School. They want to come. It's interesting in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, that we find a similar situation where Jesus is teaching, and there's kids that show up, and they want to see Jesus. They want to be near him. They want to be close to him. The disciples that are with Jesus are like, Jesus is way too busy. He has more important things to do than to worry about little kids. He has more important things that he needs to be doing and overseeing and organizing rather than working with little kids and being bothered by them, because we all know little kids are a bother. That's what the disciples' mentality was at the time. And Jesus corrects them and says, no, you're wrong. These kids are a great example to us. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them and turned them away. Verse 14 says, But Jesus said, Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. You see, Jesus has a special place in his heart for young children. He cares about kids. There's statistics that show and prove that if a child is witness to and shared the gospel with at a young age, there's more likelihood that a young child will accept the gift of salvation over that of an older adult. As the child gets older in age, his imagination loses, and you don't need imagination to get saved, but your faith dwindles. As a child, especially if you had children growing up, my daughter right now is going to be 2 in just another month, and she is completely dependent upon us. If she wants juice, mom and dad have to get her juice. If she wants a cookie, mom and dad have to get her a cookie. If she needs her diaper changed, mom and dad have to change that diaper, and so forth. She is completely dependent upon us. And as she grows older, though, she will start to do things on her own. She will go to the refrigerator and get her own juice. She will go to the pantry and get a cupboard or climb on the counter to get the cookie, you know. She will start to do things on her own. Hopefully, we'll potty train her so she can go to the restroom herself, you know, and so forth, you know. But as she grows older, she's learning less and less to be dependent upon her parents and upon other individuals. As you live your life now in your own homes, you don't have to worry about someone else paying the bills for you. You do that yourself. You don't have to worry about someone else bringing food into your home for groceries. You go to the store and buy it yourself and so forth. And as a child, this child is dependent upon this other individual. They have faith in this individual. This person is going to supply their needs. And as they understand that Jesus died upon the cross for their sins, they can put their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. But as you grow older, you become more independent. You become more dependent upon yourself. And then eventually it comes to the point where you don't need anyone else. You don't need anyone else to take care of you, because you can do it all on your own. Which then leads to the idea that many people have in the world today when asked, what would happen when they get to heaven, and Jesus asks them, why should I let you into my heaven? What's their answer? Well, I'm good enough. or I did good things, or I gave money to the church, or I was in church, and so forth. We know from God's word that's not how we get to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You know, I love the fact that children are special blessings from God. The Bible, in the book of Proverbs, I believe it is, actually talks about how it's a blessing to have your quiver full of arrows. Well, what's a quiver? It's a kind of a circular pouch that they used to put arrows in, to be able to carry arrows on their back and be able to shoot with the bow and arrow. And the idea is that as you have children, they're a blessing to you. They're there to help out in the house, and you're raising them, and so that they reflect God's glory, and you take care of them. I always enjoy reading illustration and stories of little kids. And there were some kids that were asked some questions from God's word, and one of the questions that was asked this little girl was, do you know the name of Noah's wife? This little girl replied, her name was Joan of Arc. It was a little boy that was asked if he knew what the fifth commandment was out of the Ten Commandments. And he said, thou shalt humor your mother and father. It's honor your mother and father, by the way. Little boy was sharing the story about Lot's wife, and he said that Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a pillar of fire by night. Well, it was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. It was what led the Israelites around the wilderness of Egypt. And little boy was asked about marriage, and he said, a Christian can only have one wife. That's why it's called monotony. I thought that was pretty good. But I found this little story I wanted to read. One of the reasons I love to be around children is because they make me laugh. And I guess that's why I like certain people to interview children. Danny Kaye is one of the best. Bill Cosby is another great one. But the best, no doubt, is Art Linkletter. And Art Linkletter can get children to say, as he puts it, the darndest things. He remembers a 3-year-old girl with big brown eyes whom he asked, what do you do to help your mother? I help my mom cook breakfast, she replied. Well, how do you help your mom with breakfast? Art asked. She didn't hesitate. I put the toast in the toaster, but she won't let me flush it. Push the knob down. Art asked one grammar school youth what his father did for a living. The boy took the microphone as if it were an ice cream cone. Ah. And he says, my dad's a cop. He catches crooks and burglars and spread eagles them and puts cuffs on them and takes them down to the station and puts them in the slammer. Wow, Art replied. I bet your mother gets worried about his work, doesn't she? Heck no, the young youth assured Art. He brings her lots of watches and rings and jewelry. It says, I really like the one where he interviewed the kid and said, now let me give you a situation. You're the pilot of a commercial airliner, and you've got 250 passengers, and you're flying to Hawaii. You're out over the ocean, and all four engines go out. What would you do? A little kid stood there and thought, and he said, I would press the fasten seatbelt button and parachute. Kids are an amazing thing. They're a special blessing. I want to look at one more passage this evening over Mark chapter 10. Christ thought so highly of young children that not only did he have time for them when he was already so busy, but he also uses them oftentimes in illustrations. As he was surrounded by individuals asking him questions, one of the things that he would oftentimes do is share a parable or an illustration, a story of sorts, to help those around him understand what he was trying to say. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, we'll get to in a moment, we want to see what Christ did with this. We're going to start in verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Sounds very similar. It's the same story that was back in Matthew a moment ago. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now at first glance, as you read that passage, especially in verse 15, it almost sounds like you have to be a little child in order to get saved. Well, that's not what it's saying at all. What it's speaking of there is the faith of a little child. The understanding that a small child would have about what Christ can do for them and how Christ loves them. You see, a little child has faith that adults don't have. They have a creative mind and an imagination that adults don't have. That's one of the things that I worry about as I get older, is that I'll lose that. I love having my imagination. And as I get older, I either A, slow down and start to think, no, that's too much work, I'm not going to do that. or B, it's, you know, it's, that would be too cool, or C, I'm not even thinking about doing that. I've got too many other things to do. But they bring these little children to him, and he's already busy. He's already got so many other things to do. And they bring him to him, and the disciples say, no, stay away. He's too busy. He's got too much on his plate. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And why was he displeased? Because he loved little children. You know, so many churches today have problems with little kids. They come into the church and they ruin things. Or they run through the halls and they mark up the carpet. They run and they run into the wall and they make holes in the walls. Or they do things to disturb the church people. Or maybe they come in from an unsightly home and they smell. They haven't had baths in a week. Maybe they come in, they haven't been fed in a long time and they're hungry. Maybe they come in and they've got dirty clothes on and so forth. And the church kind of goes, no, stay away. Our Vacation Bible School is a special time to invite these kids into our church, regardless of where they're coming from. Christ wouldn't turn them away, and neither should we. And you know, I got to thinking about it. If Christ was wanting to call those little children to him, and we aren't, we shouldn't have been brought to him either. We should have been left alone. We should have been the ones that were said, you know, he's too busy, stay away. As this was thinking about this, especially this afternoon, I got to thinking that if Christ cares for the little children so much, and they're just little children, they have no way of influencing the world, if you will. They don't have professions. They don't have massive degrees behind their name. You know, they have nothing to bring to the world, nothing of great success or anything. They're just small children that are dependent upon adults to be taken care of. If a child is worthy enough to be brought to Christ, I'm so thankful he brought me. That he took time out of his busy schedule and of all that he had to do to come to earth and die upon the cross for my salvation. Understand with me that God's word tells us that Jesus died upon the cross 2,000 years ago, long before I was ever born, long before I was even on the scene. My parents weren't born, my grandparents weren't born, my great-grandparents weren't born. You go back 2,000 years ago, long before I was even thought of or even any idea of me being conceived except for in the mind of God, he came to earth and died upon the cross for me. If he has time for little children, he has time for you and me as well. The Bible tells us that he cares about us. He knows how many sparrows there are. He knows if a sparrow falls from the sky and to the ground. If he knows if a sparrow falls, I'm so thankful that he knows when you and I fall. I'm so thankful that he knows our needs. I'm so thankful that he knows our cares. I'm so thankful he knows our burdens. I'm so thankful he knows our desires and our motives. And he's able to help us and come alongside of us. In our world today, there are many people hurting. There are many people suffering with different problems and different ailments and so forth. And he's willing to take time to take care of little kids. He's willing to take care of our needs and concerns as well. Sometimes we get into this idea that, as I shared this morning, that God's out in outer space just waiting for us to mess up to shoot us down with a bolt of lightning. I'm so thankful that my God's not that way. That when I fall, he's there to pick me up. That when I'm struggling, he's there to carry me. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves so that in due time, in the exact moment when God sees fit, he may exalt us and lift us out of the situation. I'm so thankful that we have a God that loves us and cares about us and wants nothing but the best for us, and that he has time for children. Because if he has time for children, he's got time for you and me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to serve these kids this week. Just as you allow the children to come to you, may we also allow the children to come to us, uninhibited, with no problems, no complexities, Lord. But may they just come, Lord. May we love them as you love them. May we not be like the disciples and say, no, stay away, we're too busy, we've got too many other things to do and worry about, rather than to take care of your needs right now. But may we be like Christ and call them along to share with them the gospel, to share with them the love that you have for them, to share with them the gift of salvation that you so readily were willing to give them, just as you have each and every one of us. Lord, if there is anyone here this evening who has never accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, I pray they'd understand tonight that they are sinners and they need that gift of salvation to forgive them of that sin, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, has willingly left the glories of heaven above and came to earth to become a man, to live that perfect life, to die upon that cross of Calvary, an innocent man, so that he might truly be our sacrifice, so that he might be our righteousness, so that we might be made righteous through him. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of salvation and the fact that it's free. It's not by anything that we do as far as works is concerned. We can go to church every day of our life. We can be putting money in the offering plate every Sunday and still not be good enough. And we're so thankful that getting to heaven has nothing to do with being good enough. It has everything to do with your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of Calvary that he did for us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your care for us. May we love these kids this next week. May we be concerned about others in our communities and our families just the same way as you were in Jesus.